Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's.
And this is your man, Professor X Factor, a.k.a. Angry Man. Please take a seat, take out your textbooks, and close your mouths because class is in session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a show for you today, and we have a show for you today. Man, a lot of things going on, man. Trade deadline is coming up and all that good stuff. We're going to get into it. But before we do that, thank you for tuning in to episode 42 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports fan. The number to call, 858-777-8433. Make sure you call in and let your voice be heard. Make sure you press one on your mobile device, because if you don't, once again, we ain't going to know what the hell you're talking about. And we trying to hear you. Here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we like to open up each show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it here at Locker Room Talk Radio, Damn. For those that don't know, the Jets have traded defensive lineman Leonard Williams to the New York Giants, my New York football Giants. I like the move, but it's a day late and a dollar short, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, but I just think that it was something that should have been done a while ago. If you go do it, and I get a trade deadline and all that good stuff. But the Jets will receive a third round pick in 2020 and a fifth round pick in 2021. The fifth round pick in 2021 will be a fourth rounder if Williams signs an extension with the New York Giants before the start of the 2021 season. The Jets are paying $4 million of the $6 million that's remaining on Williams's one-year contract. So that's what's going on with Leonard Williams. Miami Dolphins also traded running back Kenyon Drake to the Arizona Cardinals for a conditional 2020 pick. That is a sixth-rounder at the time, but it can change into a fifth-rounder before the 2020 season. The Bosa brothers, okay, they broke the sack record between brothers with five. Over the weekend, they went ham. Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa had two sacks. Nick Bosa had three. They went off. A lot of people went off this weekend and week eight of the regular season. But let me do this first. I'm going to save that one for a minute. We're going to just go ahead and jump into this. Joe Flacco is ruled out of next week's game. Brandon Allen is the start, okay? But check this out, Locker Room Talk Radio, and check this out, Sports World. But before I get into the story, let me go ahead and let my brother on the line. We also have NYC's finest, my man, $100,000, Mr. Q Drake, for this online. What up, Q?
What's going on?
What's going on, man? But we about to get into Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, ladies and gentlemen, is ruled out. Brandon Allen's going to be the starter of their week 9 game against the Cleveland Browns. Now, for those that don't know, Locker Room Talk Radio listeners, Joe Flacco has some choice words, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and play this 41-second clip of what he had to say after that loss to the Indianapolis Colts. This here is Joe Flacco, courtesy of NFL.com. Take a listen.
I just look at it like we're now a 2-6 football team, and we're like afraid to go for it in a 2-minute drill. You know, like who cares if you give the ball back to the guys with a minute 40 seconds left? They obviously got the field goal anyway. And once again, we're a 2-6 football team, and it just feels like we're kind of afraid to lose a game. It's 3rd and 5 at the end of the game. You know, it's who cares if they have a timeout there at the end or not? You know, getting in field goal range isn't that tough. You know, so you're just putting your defense in these bad situations. And I just felt like, what do we have to lose? Like, why can't we be aggressive in some of these situations? That's kind of how I feel about a lot of the game today.
Now, now I'm going to be honest with you, right? Me and my man, executive, we were talking about this particular incident at the time when it happened, when this press conference happened. But the reason why I brought this snippet up is because on NFL.com, it says Joe Flacco's ruled out because of a neck injury. Really? No.
Yes, yes.
His ass ain't out because of a neck injury. His ass is out because he pretty much threw his team underneath the damn bus. And we all know that Joe Flacco has never been a vocal person on a podium, on the field, a leader. I mean, maybe he has been in Baltimore. I've never seen it before. But a lot of people are like, well, damn, no time, Joe. Speak up for your damn self. Now... Now, this is what I don't like, and this is not a big deal, but this is what I don't like. The fact of the matter is that, you know, I guess you got to be politically correct or whatever, got to save face to the public, but just don't lie to us, man. Joe Flacco's ass is not out because of neck injury. His ass is out because of that clip right there. Professor X Factor, man, you you tell me your thoughts about what Joe Flacco said.
I think he's 100% right. He's 100% right. When you are 2-6, I mean, hell, either one of y'all, please tell me what the fuck you got to lose. Like, if one of y'all got something else, and here's the thing that I'm really, really beginning to wonder, right?
Okay.
And then, like you were saying, you know, Joe Flacco was never known as a vocal guy in Baltimore. I don't know that the level of frustration ever got quite that high for Joe Flacco in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, okay, that's fair.
Joe Flacco has never been. But as much shit as we talk about Joe Flacco, I don't ever remember the Ravens being 2-6 while that son of a bitch was there. Not ever. And be perfectly honest with you, we've seen Joe Flacco play well before. So it's not like we don't know he can't do it. We know he's capable, but it's like there's something else going on in Denver, and I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's got Joe Flacco clearly frustrated to the point where this sumbitch then decided to open his mouth to the media. Players, like, look, the media they don't have a good reputation when it comes to athletes. I don't give a shit what the sport is, because they take what athletes say and they twist it and turn it to get a storyline.
Gotcha.
But when an athlete is frustrated enough to say something to the media, knowing what they're going to do with it.
Right.
Like, I gotta believe that there's something else going. At least I believe that there's something else going on over there in Denver that's really not being talked about. Unfortunately for Joe Flacco, I feel like they'll take that 40 or 41 or 42 second clip, however long it was, and the Denver Broncos as an organization will use that as the scapegoat for every goddamn problem they got going on in that fucking box. Because that's what NFL teams do.
Gotcha. Well, let me get to executive, man. Executive, about the clip that you just heard. What's your thoughts about what Joe Flacco's statement was?
So only about the clip I heard, or about the whole situation that I know?
Hey, man.
Spill it. Shit. Spill it.
Absolutely.
God damn it. I don't want to know.
So first of all, let me go ahead and start by saying this.
Okay.
There are times when a person's in a relationship, a sexual, personal relationship, and one person is in love and invested more into that relationship than the other one. All of a sudden, because of that, things start to not work out, and they break up with you. Kind of like being traded to another team. Now,
gotcha.
Sometimes you are looking for what you once had in the previous relationship in the next relationship. And rarely ever do you find it.
How about that? Shit.
Now, on the flip side, there are times
where
that same scenario of a relationship gets gets rid of the other person and then wants the same 80-20 rule in the next person. That being that being Denver acquiring Peyton Manning and getting a chip and then seeing they can do the same thing with another veteran that previously won a Super Bowl and an MVP and get another chip. So sometimes, sometimes a new relationship is doomed to fail from the beginning because neither one can meet the expectations of the other. Quick question.
Got you.
So that, that's just to give a foundation of it. That's just to give a foundation of it. Now, what I what I know from behind the scenes is that, first of all, nobody, and Joe Flacco just found this out himself this week, nobody planned, anticipated, or actually even desired Joe Flacco, or excuse me, not desired, believed that Joe Flacco would be the starter this long into the season. The plan was for Flacco to be a mentor to the rookie who just happened to be on injured reserve, so he's been learning nothing. Drew Lock was supposed to be implanted and supplanted into the starting role by now.
I forgot all about that kid.
So once the whispers started coming around because of the potential trade deadline, Flacco became aware and he became fuck you. Now, regarding the neck injury, the neck injury is valid. However, it's just like a Josh Gordon injury. It's not valid enough to warrant the response of the actual franchise.
Right.
So, that being said, Drew Lock was the anticipated starter around week four, week five, similar to what the Giants allegedly intentionally anticipated doing with Eli Manning and Daniel Jones. However, if Flacco, like Manning, were winning, as in winning record, above 500, then there would be no rush to put the rookies in. If both teams happen to be in the playoff hunt, then both franchises were comfortable giving their rookies a redshirt year. Since neither one of those things happened, everybody is mad. The difference is Eli Manning has a legacy with the team that he is on, so he's not getting disrespected anymore. Notice how I put that in there. And Flacco don't give a damn about the Mile High. Matter of fact, he looked like he wants to get a blunt and smoke it for a mile to get high.
I should want to get high.
He don't look like he don't look like he's shaved since he left Baltimore. So that's the behind the scenes, and that's the word on the street. So Flacco was trying to plead his case to a potential quarterback needy team and say, hey, I want to play for a team that goes for it and wants to win. Even if we lose, they're ready to contend. What Flacco didn't realize is nobody cares. he didn't take that into consideration. He also didn't. I also don't believe that Flacco may initiated any communication with his representation before hitting the podium. or his reps would have said, hey,
don't say that.
Right. We can try to get you traded to a team like the Carolina Panthers. You know, for slim to nothing, but at least you have an opportunity to compete while they rest Cam, versus you going up to this podium and nobody cares. The last thing I want to put on there is the host of the show said that Joe Flacco threw his team under the bus. I disagree. He threw the coaching staff under the bus.
Well,
he didn't throw one fucking player under the bus.
Right.
So I disagree with he threw his team under the bus. Actually think is, I think Joe Flacco was saying to himself, maybe if I speak up, I'll have a couple of other veterans say, yeah, he ain't lying, he ain't wrong, just like they did in Philadelphia, in Jacksonville, and in New Jersey with the Jets.
Got you. Well, know what? The host will apologize because you are absolutely correct. I will guess what? You're right. But the thing about it, like I said before, I'm not mad at Joe Flacco, what he said.
I'm not mad at him.
So
I'm not either, because if you just going to have a guy there just to cool his heels, like, what the fuck?
Right.
I thought the goal was to win.
The better case scenario for Flacco would have been if he began or ended the statement with, look, I got to play better too, but, however, that would have been better. That would have been better for Flacco.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think...
Go ahead, Professor.
I got a couple questions. Real quick. Okay. So the first question is, like Q was saying, you know what I mean? Like, you know how you leave relationships and sometimes people replace you in relationships hoping they're going to get the same thing or something better from the next person that they get involved with? Because, I guess you share similar qualities or similar, you got similar baggage or whatever. Was the coaching staff when Peyton Manning won his Super Bowl even the same?
I don't think so.
I don't think it was either.
Yeah.
The second question is do you think there's a chance that in Denver, they're kind of doing in Denver kind of what they did in New York in terms of their play calling? Because I looked at a couple of Denver games this year, and there were instances, you know, if it's like 3rd and 18, if you are going to try to get it, you're trying to get it. But if you're just trying to buy room for your punter, you typically run a draw. Denver hasn't done that at all. And I'm wondering if when the other kid comes in, the rookie that was on injured reserve, I'm wondering if their play calling is going to miraculously change.
Well, it's threefold. Number one, it'll never be the same or even comparable because the head coach is calling the offensive plays in New York. The head coach is calling the defensive plays in Denver, you can't even compare that. Number two, what any head coach, and I would do this too. I don't give a fuck what none of y'all say. I would do this too. I would play the veteran and let the veteran play, knowing that the veteran is on the decline, but giving him ample opportunity and freedom. With limitations, because I know if I'm a rookie head coach, I know that the likelihood of me getting a second year or a continued opportunity, whether it's my first or second year or not, then having a first round or second round or top caliber rookie on my bench that hasn't played yet could save my job. And so I'm going to reserve this play and this play and this play and this play and this trick and this special because the kid, whoever he may be, can do this and the veteran cannot, whoever he may be. Like the only veteran you see being able to do rookie-type shit might be Cam Newton if he's 100% healthy. Other than that, what other veteran do you anticipate doing rookie-type shit on the field as far as audibles and change plays and pocket presence and scrambling and big arm and rejuvenated life and full of energy and stamina for 60 minutes? Who else do you see being able to do that? I'm talking about current veteran playing. Not nobody.
Russell Wilson, but he ain't going away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No other veteran quarterback that's available in the market can do that. So what do? You keep that rookie on the bench as long as possible. Whether he injured or not is irrelevant. And because what you want to do is save your job. So there's a selfishness to this business because it's a business. If you play all of your best players and all of your best plays in the first half of the season, then you're 2-6, you're fired by week 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So no, I'm not showing you everything. You know what? I'm gonna give the audience this, and I'm gonna drop the mic. It is the equivalent of having sexual relations with your new girlfriend or boyfriend.
You're gonna be sexual relations
for the first time, and on your first night. You get on the moon, and you put down all your moves. What you gonna do next time? See, now the expectation is the moon that you gave them the first time, all the time. But you don't use all your tricks already. What you gonna do now? How's it gonna end, John?
you know what's crazy? I'm gonna tell you what I'm looking at too. And I just looked this up. You know how many times Joe Flacco has been sacked in 8 games?
28? No, more than that.
26.
Oh, 26. How many? I thought it'd be more than that.
26.
Okay. No, I'm good with numbers. About 28. That's what I figured.
I mean, he's been sacked 26 times with a total of 194 yards lost because of sacks.
That's a lot.
He is on pace to lose 400 yards this year just in sacks alone.
That's a lot.
And you know what?
Yards.
That's not even that's not even the worst.
He'll be
statistic.
At 50 sacks. It's not. I mean, he only got 5 picks. I mean, yeah, granted, that's not great, but that's less than 1 interception a game. So his quarterback rating is at 85, but it's like I'm wondering if that's why I say I'm wondering if they're play calling or if. I mean, damn, is the offensive line in Denver that bad?
Well, maybe they be vacationing with the Giants. I don't know.
Like, what the hell? Bad. When did they get that bad, bro?
Yeah. Hey,
when Kofi left, everybody said, all right, I'm out.
Happens every day. That's what professional sports are. Happens every day.
Bro, that's a lot, man. That's a lot.
That is a lot. That is a lot.
That's a lot, dog. I mean, and I know Flacco is 6'6", 245 pounds, but that is still a lot.
The way
he
looked at the way he looked behind that podium, he looked about 6'6", 216. He looked like he on his shit. You see the way he was scratching his neck and his shoulder while he was talking? In 41 seconds, that was a lot of scratches.
His completion percentage is actually higher now than it's ever been. He's actually at 65.3% of his passes completed. That's the highest completion percentage that he's ever had. Something's wrong over there, man. And I don't know I wonder if this is how long it's going to be before John Elway's job.
And give it away because. So was Eli Manning. Eli Manning had his greatest statistical year last year, and he's getting benched.
And got hit a ton.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But he's getting benched because he's the problem. So I am excited.
Yo,
every time the Giants lose.
Oh, my God. Yo, what, you know what? I'm going to tell you what's pissing me off, okay? In these two instances, I'm going to tell you what bothers the living shit out of me, okay? Now, when an offense is not producing the way that they should – we are quick to fire an offensive coordinator. When a defense is not performing the way that it should, we are quick to fire a defensive coordinator. When a team as a whole is not performing the way that they should, the head coach is quick to be fired unless your name is Jeff Fisher or Lovie fucking Smith. What the fuck is the holdup with getting rid of offensive line coaches? Somebody explain this shit to me.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
God damn it, I'm tired of the bullshit now.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
But I
just,
don't understand how offensive line coaches,
yeah,
they meant quarterback, you, the fact that his jersey can be filthy and nobody says a word to the offensive line coach. How
but
the
you know
fuck
what?
Is that possible?
But usually the problem is this. At the end of the day, but put it like this. Usually when you get rid of a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator, usually the whole staff goes. Very seldom.
The coordinator
leaves and everybody else stays. You know what I mean? That's very seldom. You know what I'm saying? But it does happen. But in this case, man, you might be right, man. Maybe it's just they offensive line is just that horrible. I don't know.
Because if you put a rookie, if you put that young boy back there behind that offensive line, as many times Joe Flacco would have been hit. And he's a damn veteran. He know how to change.
He gonna look as good as Daniel Jones. Go DJ.
Yeah.
That's not my D.
Because he may not try to change the protection. He might just drop back there and play. I think a lot of quarterbacks suffer with that problem of overthinking the process. Go fucking play.
Gotcha.
Man, I'm done. I don't want to talk about
it. Well, gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and drop Joe Flacco, man. But NCAA right now is the meet tomorrow, considering athletes to profit from their endorsements. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The NCAA's top decision makers will meet on Tuesday in Atlanta for their first formal discussion in modifying rules and currently prohibit college athletes from making money by selling the rights to their names, images, or likenesses. At the end of the day, man, it's about damn time. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. College players should have been paid a long time ago for their likenesses. If you're going to go ahead and portray them, you know, and whatever it is that you want to portray them in, you want to, you know, sell their name, sell their likeness, whatever, they need to get a cut of that. At the end of the day, I'm not saying pay them millions of dollars like they're in the NFL or NBA contract or MLB.
Can't afford to. But damn, they
can get. You know what I mean? They should be able to get something. But in this case, like I said before, you know, the school is not paying them. The actual corporation
is not
paying them. Nike,
well,
Levi,
you know what?
I'm
going to tell you this.
These guys, you know what I'm saying? So leave them the hell alone and let them get their money. It ain't coming out your money.
I'm going to tell you this.
Come on, son.
I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
There's going to be one case in the first 12 months.
Okay.
let's give a round figure. $150,000. That becomes the salary for a college student, right?
Okay.
Okay. There's going to be one case. One dumbass knucklehead. Who's going to overdose, die, commit a felony, something egregious and stupid, and then you know what's going to get blamed?
Mm.
It's because
the money.
He had access and to
the
that
money.
Money.
Yep.
I'm just telling you right now. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't know why.
Gotcha.
I don't
gotcha.
Know how.
Gotcha.
Oh, but it's coming.
But you know what, Q? Let me say this real quick. My thing is this. At the end of the day, that's a very high possibility. It probably will happen. Like I said, because something like that will happen. But I will say this, though. You know, at the end of the day, hell, they do that in professional sports right now. So, to me, at the end of the day, the other students who won't die or not commit a felony or whatever, you know what I'm saying, they should still be able to make money. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have cases. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you can't stop everybody else from getting their paper because you're going to have a couple of knuckleheads that might do what you just implied that somebody's going to do in the future, which, is, like I said, is very, very plausible because, like I said, somebody will probably go above and beyond the call of duty doing something stupid or like you said, either they get high or embezzle money or something of that nature. So I agree with that. But it's just, to me, you know, like I said, the NCAA has been getting away with this for far too long, in my opinion. They've been stopping kids from making money to help provide for their families and themselves. You know what I mean? And they just sit back, you know what I'm saying?
You hold their feet to the fire when they get money through some kind of underhanded
exactly.
shit. But the school football program alone be worth over $1 billion, $100 million,
exactly.
and you won't give them a dime?
Come on, man. Really? Like, I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that at all.
But I will
you know,
tell you this.
Go ahead, Sean.
There's no way they're going to be able to pay those guys $150,000. There are 115 NCAA Division I football programs in the country. Each one of those teams has about 110 players on it. So that's roughly 12,650 players. If you paid each one of those guys $150,000, you're looking at well over $1 billion. That will never happen.
Yeah, we know they ain't that damn generous.
That will, the game, it will cost them money to produce it. It'll cost them more money to produce it than they're able to pay out. And if you were to give these guys $10,000, you know what I mean? Okay, that's one thing. But NCAA football players, the next step that they really legitimately need to take, they need to create an NCAA football players union. They need to have a fucking union. Once you have now been given the right to make money as a student athlete, you're going to need a union, because if you don't have one, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. These schools have been in this business a whole hell of a lot longer than your ass has been alive. And figure out a way to fuck you out of your money.
I got a question for you, Professor. And Q, you can jump in here too. And I want to make sure I'm asking this question correctly. You said they should form an NCAA union. Don't you associate with being employed? So
unions are for contractors.
Okay. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Unions are for contracts.
You're employed by the NFL or whatever team.
You're thinking about it from a players' union, but I'm just talking about from an NCAA athletic union. They need their own union. They need to have representatives at every school for that union, and those are the individuals that need to meet and have discussions about whether or not they're getting ready to get screwed out of their money. Because even if you took that 12,650 players, let's say you paid each one of them $10,000. That's still $126,500. That's just for the football team.
Right.
That ain't counting basketball. That ain't counting
hockey.
Track and field.
Right.
That ain't counting none of that other shit. But when you consider the fact that a lot of these colleges have other programs, because of how much money the football programs make,
which is their cash cow, absolutely.
That football, college football, it is the cash cow. In some schools, it's basketball. But in most of them schools, it's football. It's football. The basketball arenas don't hold a quarter of what them football stadiums hold. You go to the University of Tennessee, where the football stadium holds over 100,000 people.
Right.
NFL stadiums don't hold
100,000 people. Right.
And the Volunteers fill that bitch every game. We talked about the numbers that they make off ticket sales for one season of home games. We talked about that some time before.
Right.
That number alone is astronomical.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know if they're going to pay these guys based upon marketability, but then it'll be a conversation and an argument over over EA Sports feeling like a guy is not quite as marketable as he believes that he is.
Gotcha.
So that's what's going to be hard to do. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. That's what I think. It'll be in their best interest if they have a union. Because I don't know how you get that done with fair representation. Because even with them allowing them to get paid, my concern for them now is that the representation. You said what happened?
Oh, hello? I've been trying to talk for the last 5 minutes. Shit.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if it's you or Professor though, but it's like somebody's moving something around. It's real loud. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's going on with that, but now we hear you now, but we didn't, you know.
It was all good. I was just ad libbing. It's all good.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and move on real quick, man, because this is a topic I want to get on. But before I get on that main topic, because I know this is going to, that's going to be a debate all in itself. So, but Bruce Arians was a little upset about the way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost to the Tennessee Titans yesterday. he was a little upset. But he heavily criticized the officials for blowing an early whistle, which cost the Bucs a go-ahead touchdown in the game with 3 minutes and 45 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. What happened was the Titans lined up for a field goal, and they faked it. The Bucs linebacker, Devin White, tackled the Titans holder, Brett Kern, and he stripped the ball away from him. He caused him to fumble. Safety Andrew Adams picked it up and ran it, and it would have been a touchdown, but then an early whistle was blew and called the play dead. So instead of being ruled a touchdown, it was ruled turnover on downs. Now, Mr. Arians had this to say, and I'm going to go ahead and read his quote, and then we're going to talk about it. He says, and I quote, "It was more than just one play. Everybody except for one guy saw the ball out. He," talking about the ref, "blew a quick whistle. My biggest thing is refs aren't held accountable. Coaches get fired. General managers get fired. Players get cut. Refs are not accountable. And it's a shame. It's been that way for 40 years. And now that we've got a new agreement, it'll be that way for 40 more years." Professor X Factor, do you agree or disagree with Coach Arians?
I agree with him 100%.
You seem a little upset.
100%.
Come on, son.
No, dude, look, yo. How long have we been doing this show?
Come on, man.
How long have we been doing this show? What, 6 years, 5 years?
4 years, man. 4 years. Come on.
4 years?
Hmm?
You know what is a topic of discussion for us every fucking year?
Bad officiating. Some way,
every year.
Fashion. Every year.
Every
right.
year, dog. Like, the 1 year it was, I forgot who the receiver was. They said he didn't catch a ball in the end zone and maintain possession all the way through the catch.
Des Bryant.
Then 1 year it was, it's always. And that Des Bryant catch was clearly a fucking catch. There's always something, and commentators interpret the wording of the rule book differently than the referee may interpret the reading of the rule book. And there's rules that are written in the rule book, and they're written in such a way that kind of leave those rules open to interpretation, like the NFL doesn't want to say yay or nay one way or the other. So it kind of leaves the NFL in a position of, oh, well, that's in the rule book. Okay, well, what does it mean when it says this? Well, it's in the rule, but I don't give a shit. What does it mean?
Let me get like, what, hold, like, that thought. Hold that thought, Professor. Let me get the executive. Executive, do you agree with Bruce Arians? He says that referees are not held accountable. Everybody else is, except refs. Do you agree?
Fuck them.
Okay, really? Okay, really? You did all that.
They're full of shit. They're full of shit.
Gotcha.
Okay? They're costing people their livelihoods, their health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're costing people Super Bowl rings, Lombardi trophies. They cost some people Pro Bowl appearances, MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
They cost some people record-breaking experiences. You feel me? They cost their fans hard-earned money. Like, I don't get it.
It's bullshit.
I don't get it.
Every year.
Like, accountability.
Same shit.
Like,
every fucking year.
I don't get it. I ain't got nothing to say, because I'm going to get mad. So.
Gotcha.
Every year.
Look, I'm mad with the both of you, but check this out. I'm just trying to understand.
Are you mad at us? Like, what? Mad with?
No, I said I'm mad with you. With you. That's what I said. With you. I said that.
I was like, whose side you on?
But my thing is this: Why is it that they're not held accountable? How is it that they're getting away with this for so long? Like, why is it that they're that powerful? Is this something with the commissioner that they have some unwritten rule, or maybe they got some bad backdoor deal in the back? I don't know, because he has a point. Coaches get fired, GMs get fired, everybody else, they're held accountable, even if there's been coaches that have been fired that, you know, completely not their fault, reason why their organization is the way that they are, and they still are the scapegoat. I get it. But referees,
their players get cut and fined.
James Harrison
had to spend a ton of money.
And he ain't the only one, though.
Players get cut and fined and blackballed.
Have you ever heard of a ref getting fined?
No.
Damn. Okay. I thought it was just
in professional sports. I've only heard, in between basketball and football, the only referee I've ever heard get into any major trouble was the one that was betting on the Philadelphia Sixers basketball game.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Right.
He's the only one I've ever heard getting into any trouble. When Ed Hockley says the shit that he says to Cam Newton, nothing.
Yeah, you know, you're not old enough to get those type of calls. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what?
Right.
So you're telling me.
I'm with you, man. So we ain't going to go there, man, because I'm pretty sure we're going to hit this topic.
This shit,
man.
Please, man. Can we just, Q said players get blackballed.
I had to mute myself.
Man, look, Q said players get blackballed. You remember back in the day, remember when the Atlanta Falcons had a guy named Scott Chase?
Yes, I remember him. I sure do.
Do you remember when Buffalo had an outside linebacker named Bryce Pop?
I sure do.
Prime examples of players being blackballed.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, okay, my man. Hey, look. It's 7:42 p.m., man, Eastern Standard Time, man. We're going to go ahead and get into this last conversation here. I'll say this.
Touch nobody to breathe on somebody too hard. It's a penalty. What the fuck?
I saved this one for last because this one's going to be real interesting. There are two teams right now, two undefeated teams in the National Football League, the San Francisco 49ers and the New England Patriots. Patriots are 8-0, 49ers are 7-0. And me and Professor X Factor, we had a conversation earlier today about these two teams. Not so well, you know, we really had a conversation about Jimmy Garoppolo, but I'm not going to get deep into that one. However,
he's average.
Look, man, don't you start, because I'm not getting into it, because you get going, you don't want to stop. Let me get this out first. San Francisco 49ers are 7-0. The reason why they're 7-0 because they had a bye before the New England Patriots. But, of course, I do my homework and I do my research, and I am always on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and I read a lot of comments from a lot of fans, NFL fans, fans of the actual teams, the 49ers and the New England Patriots. And a lot of people say, you know, the 49ers, they're 7-0. They didn't play nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I took the liberty of is looking at each game that each team played, and I also took the liberty of writing down their records. Now, with the San Francisco 49ers, they played a Buccaneers team who's 2-5. They beat them 31-17. Week one, with the New England Patriots, they played a Pittsburgh Steelers team with a 2-4 record, 33-3. About even with me. They both nobodies. Second week, Cincinnati, 49ers beat the hell out of 41-17. And then Miami plays New England week two, 43-0. Pretty much even too. Both nobodies. Week three, Pittsburgh plays the 49ers. We already know they're nobodies because they already got their ass whooped by New England week one, 24-20. And week three, the New England Patriots play the New York Jets, 30-14. Still nobodies. Week five, because remember, 49ers had a bye week. They beat the Cleveland Browns 2-5 team. They beat them 31-3. And the Buffalo Bills lost to the New England Patriots week four, 14-10, with a 5-2 record. Week six, 20-7, the LA Rams, San Francisco beat a 5-3 team. Week five, because remember, 49ers had a bye. Week five for the New England Patriots, they beat the Washington Redskins 33-7. Nobody's. Week seven, 9-0, Washington, San Francisco 49ers beat, which was nobody's. Nobody's. Week six, the New York Giants, yes, I got to say it, nobody's. 35-14, pains my heart to say. Week eight, 51-13, Carolina with a 4-3 record. The Jets, again, week seven, the New England Patriots played 33-0, a 1-6 team. And then yesterday, they beat the Cleveland Browns team, 27-13, with a 2-5 record. Now, the reason why I'm saying all these stats, because I'm looking at now, as far as the total record, the San Francisco 49ers, of all the teams that they played, the total record win and loss ratio is 16-35. Now, granted, remember, they had a bye week, so they're 1 week behind the New England Patriots. The Patriots, from week 1-8, played teams with a 14-42 record. So, once again, because they played a week more. Total offense for the San Francisco 49ers, 2,711 yards. Total offense for the New England Patriots, 2,959 yards. Total defense for the San Francisco 49ers, 1,571 yards, and total defense for the New England Patriots, 1,872 yards. Now, 248 yards separate them in total offense. Now, the reason why I'm bringing all this up is because at the end of the day, I'm going to go ahead and put the disclaimer out because everybody always tells me how much of a hater I am, and yes, they're proud of me. I don't like them. However, I will say, just like anything else, are they that good? Yes, they are. But this is the argument that I don't like. You can't say every time that there's a team that's not called New England that when they don't play nobody, that's why they are the way they are. But New England ain't paying nobody either. Yes, we know they're the better team. We know that. They are the better team. But can we just be consistent and fair around the board? Can we just do that? That's all I'm asking.
No.
Just be consistent and fair around the board. They didn't play nobody either. They didn't.
No. There's a reason why we can't be consistent,
okay? Okay, wait a minute. And I know everybody's going to sit here and make an excuse for the Patriots, and I know for those who are just Patriot lovers, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, my thing is this. It's just like me saying, once again, I could say the Patriots every year, they have the luxury of getting guaranteed six games, but that's blasphemous for me to say. And we all know that's the damn truth. They're guaranteed six games. That division is the sorriest division of football, and it's been forever. And once again, they'll say, well, you're just saying that because you don't like them. Okay, brother, if I like them or not, is irrelevant. That's the goddamn truth. They are guaranteed six games. So go ahead, Professor. What is it that you're going to say?
No. You know what else is true? They have
What's
three
that?
Super Bowls in 6 years. That's why the comparison is made the way that it's made. No. We're going to, goddamn it. We're
okay.
Going to tell the truth. Tell the whole goddamn truth.
Okay. So I just want to ask you this real quick. Everything that I just said, that wasn't the truth?
Yeah, it was the truth. I didn't say
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I wanted to know.
But if
we're
going to tell the truth, we're going to tell the whole goddamn truth.
Okay, I got you.
The 49ers have not won a Super Bowl since the 90s.
Okay.
It's been over 20 fucking years.
Okay.
It's been over 20 damn years.
Okay.
We don't measure the Patriots by the same litmus test or the same yardstick that we measure the 49ers by, even though neither one of them have played anybody worth a fuck. Because we know with a lot of them teams, we don't need to see the Patriots play them. We can't necessarily say that about the damn 49ers.
Okay.
Last year looked like some shit. The year before that The 49ers ain't looked good since they went to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick.
That's why
that comparison is made. Like it or not, that's what it is.
Okay, now check this out. I'm going to say this again for those that did not hear me. I'm going to say it again for those that didn't hear me. I said that the Patriots are the far better team than the San Francisco 49ers.
I heard you. I heard both of you.
So that means that I have already acknowledged that we know that the Patriots have won 3 Super Bowls, which, to me, that's not my argument. My argument is with people, when it comes to these guys, I don't care if they got a Super Bowl or not. And we always like to do this. We'll say, well, you can't talk about the past. Can't talk about the past. But, right, I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about 3 years ago. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about right now. And when I look at these fans on social media, the first thing they do is because they such lovely Patriots, like this team can do no wrong. Okay, fine. That's what you do. But all I'm saying is that even with what you just said, Professor, which is the truth, I get that. But can we stop with the Patriots play nobody, it's all good. But when anybody else, and the only reason why I'm saying the 49ers is because they're the only undefeated team. But had it been anybody else, they're always damn lucky. And that just irks the shit out of me. That irks the hell out of me.
I haven't heard anybody call San Francisco lucky. I haven't heard that.
That's fair. That's fair. But at the end of the day, my thing is this. With these two teams right now, they're 1A, 1B. And at the end of the day, all I'm saying is for those out there who are Patriot lovers, you want to love on them, fine. You want to ride tails, fine. You want to do all that, fine. All I'm saying is that you cannot make the same argument and the same situation if both of you shit. Why they smell like shit but y'all smell like roses? That's all I'm saying. No, both of you shit. You see what I mean? And both of you are play teams who is some shit. So at the end but what I'm saying is that nobody else, and I get it because they got 6 rings and all that other good stuff. But what I'm saying is
they got the last ring.
Okay. But I'm just saying, but that's people's argument because they got 6 rings or they got 3 rings.
I understand everything you're saying. You don't seem to be understanding why they're saying that. And you can say all day.
I get why they're saying it. I just don't agree
with
it.
But if they were in the Super Bowl with the 49ers last year, the game would have been a fucking blowout. That shit would have been a blowout. You know what I know, what every damn body knows.
I lost you. You said what? If they played
the 49ers in the Super Bowl last year, the game would have been a fucking blowout. I know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. That's why the comparisons are made the same way. Yes, neither one of them have played any goddamn body. What the fuck? We know that.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we know that. Okay, that's fine.
I don't like it when people diminish that. You know what I'm saying? Because they like to put that on a pedestal. You say, well, okay, we know
because they diminish it, Gary, because they know what they're going to get from the Patriots when they play top-tier talent. We don't know yet what we're going to get from the 49ers against top-tier talent. We don't know.
We just don't know. Okay.
You called me?
It wasn't so much more. You could have jumped in there, brother. I didn't go.
Oh, just, okay, perfect. Yeah. My turn. Wonderful. Here we go. Well, you see, everybody on the show is not wrong. However, there are some things to take in consideration when considering these things to take. Number one, results matter.
Well,
so as Professor said, every statistic, every win, every chip matters. It counts. It does. You can't take it away.
Absolutely.
You can say what you say.
Absolutely.
But it's there. However, Mr. Ward has a point. Because if you dissect certain things, you start to really peel back the layers. And yes, doesn't change the results.
Right.
But neither did it for Bernie Madoff. See? Roll with me. Here we go.
Listen.
How you got to these results also who helped you get these results actually matter. Whether or not these results would still be the same without a specific change in events also matter. So if the results matter, how you got there matters too. Let me take you on a ride. Number one, it starts with the Baltimore Colts leaving the state of Maryland in the middle of the night and going to the state of Indiana.
Okay. You're stupid as hell.
After that, so, a little bit down the timeline, the National Football League introduced a few different franchise teams into the league, allowing the commissioner at that time to diversify the divisions. It just so happened that around that time, a couple decades ago, that the elite Patriots, based on results, as we call them, were in a tough division, a competitive one, dare I say,
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden,
dumb as hell.
Overnight, they were in the weakest, and let me be clear, the statistically based on results weakest division. So, if, yes, and we know because we're grown men, what if actually means. But that's not the point. If you take the Patriots and put them for the last 20 years in any other division, do they yield the same results? Probably not. Can I prove it? Nope. Does it matter? Yes, it does. Does it change the results? Of course not. But it counts. If you take an above average team from any other division and put them in that same weak, and let me be clear, based on results, weakest division in football,
no,
do they become elite? Do they get 6 championships? Is Tom Brady still the GOAT? Probably not. Now, does it change anything? Of course not, because it's based on results,
right.
And this is starting with if. But that's not the point. The point is that they have currently, this year, regardless of any past, played nobody and have beaten nobody that they will see in the month of January.
Not a
however, San Francisco has. San Francisco played the Rams. That's what you said, right?
Mm-hmm. With a 5-3 record, right?
Right. So the 49ers have played a team they might see in January. However, they have also played one less game than New England.
That's why I'm
saying. The moral of the story is.
But New England played Buffalo. Buffalo will probably win.
I get it. But, you know, is anybody really putting their money on Buffalo? No. So, moving along. because remember, you have to use the same platform and design and diagram that Gary's using for this example, which means you can't say they played Buffalo because of Buffalo's record. You also have to look at the fact that Buffalo played nobody. So Buffalo's 5-1 does not mean that when they played New England, it was a competitive game. It was not. Buffalo also played nobody. And we can go into that, you know, we can look, research that, you know, during the archive.
We got 30 seconds, though, but go ahead, man. Go ahead and just.
Gotcha. So the moral of the story is this.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day and the beginning of the next, both of you are not wrong. There it is.
Like I said, man, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that that's not correct. I for one, I'm just saying again, for the millionth time, is that I don't like, regardless who it is, whether it's football, if it's basketball, if it's hockey, I don't give a damn what it is. All I'm saying is this. If somebody is doing the same thing that you're doing, regardless of your past or regardless of who you play or who you're not going to see or whatever the case may be, let's just say we know that. We know, and that's why I said at the beginning, we already know that they're the better team. We already know that. We already know they're going to the playoffs. You understand what I mean? We know that's a damn given. First round, they're going home. They're going to get a bye, the whole nine. I got that. Well, I just don't like the fact that because these guys are the most popular guys and because they so-called got the GOAT or whatever the case may be, it's more acceptable for them. But everybody else, it's not acceptable to play nobody. That's all my point is. It's no more, it's no less. That's it. That's it. But ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, we got to roll up out of here, man. Thanks for tuning in to Locker Room Talk Radio. Make sure you tune in on Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No, I'm going to say this, man. I'm a professor going to laugh at me. He's an undercover Patriots fan. I can care less what he's saying. he's a Patriots fan. I'm saying it right now. That's what he is.
You're a Patriots
fan. Somebody talk about, I don't got no damn team. You're a damn lie. That is your team. That is your man. And I said it, damn it. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, well,
liar.
Say what you like. Defending champion.
Whatever. Yo, I want to thank my crew, always Professor X Factor, my man, Executive Chef Drayfoot. I can't stand his ass. And this is Coach Daniel. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always see you later.